Our next panelist is Graham Hetrick, not a stranger to us. Graham, come on up. Graham is the coroner of Dauphin County since January 1990. He has a Bachelor of Arts degree from York College, dual majored in European history. Wow, that's fantastic. And biology. You're using both sides of your brain. That's great, unlike me. A mortuary science degree from Pittsburgh Institute of Mortuary Science and a master's of science degree in research psychology from Capella University. Dr. Graham is nationally certified as a death investigator by the American College of Forensic Examiners. Sir, over to you. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you. I've been...
Could you turn your mic on, too? Thank you.
I think it's on.
Okay. All right. Good.
I've been a coroner since 1990. And there were just a few things that popped up. One of the things is that when your staff called and said, well, who do you want to speak first? And I quickly said, Dr. McCull, because you are right. He has been on this from the very beginning, and you will not ask me my IQ at the end of this speech. But I admire more than his IQ, his courage through this whole thing. I first met him down at Hershey very early on in this. The other interesting thing that piqued me right from the beginning, because I want to talk about a greater scope than just the vaccine, but I want to talk about the injuries that follow that vaccine. First thing I can say is everything that he has said, I have seen going through the coroner's office, the pulmonary emboli, the strokes, the unusual clotting, the myocarditis in the young. In 1990, having kids with myocarditis was extraordinary. It was extraordinary. All-cause deaths. I just saw one for Australia up 26%. All-cause deaths is all kinds of deaths. Early on, this is another thing I want you to understand. Early on in the advent of COVID in Pennsylvania, there was a legal decision made under the Wolf administration that we were supposed to be notified concerning infectious disease. I was fully expecting coroners, which most of our systems are hybrid systems. I am not a forensic pathologist, but I work with a forensic pathologist, Dr. Ross. We have for 28 years. So it's a hybrid system, where I am a medical legal death investigator. I run the office. I look at protocols. I do some microscopy and things like that. But overall, the final decision is a collegial decision between the pathologists, what we see at the crime scene, interviews, everything else. We come up with two things. So one of them is the cause of death. And that's the mechanical reason or the physiological reason why the person died. And the second one is the manner of death, and that's homicide, suicide, accidental, natural, and one we call undetermined, which is very important. We were early on told that they did not need to report COVID deaths to us so that we could determine, how did you determine it to be a COVID death? So we went back and said, well, wait a minute. It says in the law that we should be notified or at least be brought in on the decision-making of how we classify these deaths in Pennsylvania, because we're supposed to be a notifier on contagious diseases within your area. That was just taken out. The Coroner's Association called and made issue of this, but they said, well, that's been determined. They said, we don't call you every time somebody has a flu. But the flu was a known entity. This was not. Now, that gets to a bigger issue. We really can tell how we're living by how we die, and that should tell us how we should live. So we mentioned a lot of things today, and they also are variants as to maybe how some people have different reactions to the drug itself. But what we have done over this period of time is nothing happens in a vacuum. This isn't just a COVID problem. This was the whole reaction of the COVID problem and the structure that came with it. In that structure, we killed deductive and inductive reasoning. I can tell you today that there's never been, as far as I know, and Dr. McCullough, in the United States, there have never been studies of vaccinated, unvaccinated people that have died of COVID in the hospital where you have comparison groups of unvaccinated and vaccinated. Never been a study. I can tell you that other than people like Ryan Cole, Dr. Ryan Cole, and I have a list here of people of where Dr. McCullough is at the very top of the list, that educated me through this whole process. And my first statement publicly made me persona non grata when I mentioned the work of Dr. Sheng Li and Dr. Barrick at Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and I said, this is a man-made virus. It's a man-made virus that was shut down by President Obama because they published in 2015 in Nature the study. I have it here, by the way. It's not that I made it up. And I said that to the first person on Smart Talk when he said, well, you're a conspiracy theory. And I said, well, Sparky, I got the paper right here. He said, I made a chimeric virus. We made it. And then we got an ACE2 receptor so it would go into a human tissue. It went from there to Wuhan, and the research continued. How it got out, I'm not even in that debate. All I know is that it was made. And we were part of that making. Now, an oddity of that, I was also at one time 385th Military Police and then CID later on, and I worked at Fort Detrick, Maryland in security because of the top secret thing, and I know what they make down there. So they got the SARS virus for Fort Detrick. It's in their own paper. Just Nature 2015. And then that SARS that was coordinated with, I believe, Dr. Sheng Li brought it in, the COVID part of it, and then the ACE2 receptor, I think, originated here, and the experiments continued down there in private. Now, when I say nothing happens in a vacuum, we have not applied deductive and inductive independent thinking in science. It started in 1948 when we started clearing out all the med schools and the universities that were going to train people in the biological science or in science itself, where they were so influenced either by agribusiness, big pharma, or the government itself. And what we did is we abolished free thinking. And now today we are at a state where truth and testing of hypotheses for correct theory has been so limited that we have to ask a Supreme Court justice, how do you know a person is a woman or a man? He says, I have to talk to a biologist. That's what she said. So that's where we are today. Now, the second thing is, we are blocked by the loss of the First Amendment in resolving any of these problems. And it takes away all our other rights. It just doesn't take away the speech. It takes away good science, good medical practices. It takes control. It gives control over the corporate medicines and protocols set up by agencies that don't have this caliber of person behind them, that are willing to look for truth. So we have this concept of my truth and your truth. And that has ended up in giving us ridiculously horrible problems that are making, to this point in our society, the most incohesive it has ever been. We do not have a cohesive society today. Oz Guinness, and I recommend a book, It was a free people's suicide. Brilliant man from Oxford. And he talks about free societies. They're short-lived, and they rely on two things. We have the most unbelievable document in the world. It is the only one of any country I know that talks about inalienable rights. Those rights the government doesn't give you. So they can't take them away from you. Well, every one of those inalienable rights were taken away because we couldn't protect our own bodies by saying no if you were employed somewhere and had to take the shot. If you're in the military, you have to take the shot. If you're a religious person, no matter what your religion is, they were going to close it down. Your movements, they were going to monitor. The mask, being perhaps one of the stupidest things I ever saw, had no science to it, and it is equated to throwing sand through a chain link fence. I remember the day in our lab where they put the signs of stay 6 feet away. And I said, can I have one more of those? And I pasted it on the floor between the two urinals in my... Because you got to show the idiocy before people can understand. The results of this is chaos. And the chaos goes far deeper into psychological damage, which has created things that I see now, not only when it's myocarditis or pulmonary embolism, strokes. Everything he said is true. They're all up. But I also see more female suicides by younger people. I see more child abuse. I see violence that I did not see either in the military or in the early days of being a coroner, where the violence had no raison d'être, no reason to be. It just happens. I remember a woman being shot 4 times in the torso in the wintertime, a homeless woman. And as it turned out, the people that shot her just wanted to see what it feels like to kill somebody. That's a new type of violence. In the good old days, they shot somebody because they were robbing a bank and somebody tried to stop them. But today, you can go on to any street in Harrisburg and you'll just have these casual shootouts or drive-bys.
If I could fire some questions at you here.
Yep.
So, military intelligence officer for 30 years, top secret access, SCI for 30 years in the Army, active duty. Started off in the Cold War. And we were trained, of course, to be prepared for not only nuclear, but also biological and chemical. Our assessment was from the intel agencies that I worked with was, of course, a bioweapon would be unlikely because it's difficult to control it, as we see. And it is troubling to me that we've seen development of a bioweapon in a foreign lab, ironically, you know, led with American taxpayer dollars that was going to be catastrophic for the world. And it was not controllable. It got out of control, and the remedies for it were unacceptable or inadequate, as we heard from Dr. McCullough. And so that's the danger of playing with this fire, playing God. And it's interesting because we saw rapidly, new coroners, especially in Pennsylvania, saw rapidly that it was politicized. It was politicized in that we'd have rallies, some of the biggest rallies in modern times in Harrisburg, 7,000 to 10,000 people on the steps, the Walk is Free People movement, gathering to exercise our right to assemble, and being lambasted by the media that owes us all an apology, discussing what they did to us, covering down for the government, working for the man, as we say. That's right. And, irresponsible, no social distancing. Mastriano was there, very irresponsible. The elderly are going to die. His grandma's going to die, And then how they would rejoice when people on our side got COVID. They'd laugh and giggle. And then on our side, when Wolf came up sick, very serious now, pray for him. And it was interesting because it was obviously a very smart bioweapon, because when the liberals gathered, when Tom Wolf issued an edict that Harrisburg can gather in 25 or less, and literally the next day, 3 years ago today about. Literally the next day, there he is at BLM riot, and it was fantastic with thousands of people. And he was not irresponsible, didn't care. There was no social distancing. It was and Levine, the great Dr. Levine. Anyone miss Levine? Neither do I. Levine, of course, was asked that night, you know, wasn't that inconsistent because you lambast Mastriano's people gathering, but, you know, you're out there laughing and giggling, you know, and oh, no, you know, because our cause is, you know, legitimate. Our cause is just. Like, oh, okay, Orwell, thank you so much. And then we saw, of course, the rigging of the COVID deaths, the wrong numbers. I remember when the Coroner's Association, of which you remember, started asking questions. The Department of Health started reporting COVID deaths out of various counties. And
that was the battle we had, yes.
About a dozen counties like, no, we haven't had any. Where'd you get those numbers? So fabricating numbers to keep counties shut down for 0.0008% of a population in some cases. And then, of course, the lack of science for Levine's decision to send the sick back into the long-term care facilities. And justifying that, and then we had, of course, a plague spread in these homes, killing most of the people, proportionally, were elderly because the sick were sent into the most vulnerable. And then on top of this, and where was the media? Levine, and I'm going to be a little graphic here, like a snake in the grass, own mom was in a facility, saw the risk, and instead of being a decent human being and alerting Pennsylvania, hey, a bad decision was made, get your loved ones out of those homes, of which you were locked out from seeing for 444 days. Levine stuck mommy out, put Levine's mom, of course, was in a suite here down at the Hershey Lodge. And, you know, the hypocrisy and duplicity. And I don't know what we can do at your level there if we see another politicization of a virus or an outbreak.
Well, one thing I would warn in Pennsylvania is there's a certain beauty to having a hybrid system like we have, which is the old English system, the coroner system, which was actually the word was first, I think in the 1100s, it was called the crowner system because he worked for the king and he would decide how the cause and manner went. But it is relatively independent of being in the corporate system or in pharmaceutical, and there's no pathway like somebody that works for the FDA then ends up making millions of dollars when he goes over to Big Pharma, and that's why it ends there. I like decentralization. So in this case, each county has a person that's responsible to tell the folks what's the health of this county, what's going on. And so I think that's what led to my surprise when we weren't brought into this, not even the discussion. Well, how do you determine between comorbidities and the COVID? You got a person that's 89 years old, has CHF, a little bit of COPD, either insulin resistant or diabetes mellitus, and they say, well, yeah, she was coughing, so she died of COVID. That's almost how bad it was. I actually had a case not so long ago where a doctor did call and said, we have a multiple-month-old baby, and we're going to write it out as COVID. And my deputy, all of them, which are ABMI nationally certified, she said, because she knows the difference between a symptom and a disease, she said, so you're saying the child died of COVID because it had some sort of issue in the lung. And that's about as well as he could describe it. She says, that's a symptom. That's not confirmation of a disease. She said, we're going to take the case. So we took the case. What was going to be a COVID case turned out, under good medical legal death investigation, to be an accidental rollover asphyxia. Now, I don't know why there is such a rush. I do at the time. In 1920, there was only 0.23% of the people dying from COVID. And who was the person in England that said 2 million would die? Remember, who was that? It was from Oxford, I think. Yeah, Royal College, yeah. So 2 million people were going to die. So they said, oh, we got to wear a mask, we separate, you know, and all this other stuff. Stay indoors. Everybody is D3 deficient here, and they say stay indoors. So that move right there shows the willingness to not know so that they can do what they want to do. And the real thing here, the overall thing here and worldwide right now, is there's powers that are going by the axiom, never let a crisis go to waste. And it's going to happen very shortly here, and we might not even be able to have hearings like this. And that's the World Health Organization, because it just has 118 amendments to this organization's constitution, which we are a member of, and they are, Europe's accepting the all the coding and the data tracking system for the World Passport in a organization called One Health, which changes the definition of health to anything from global warming to the emotional attachment to cows, or, you know, anything. They make the definitions. They did in this case that we have just lived through. They made a definition, and the definition was, this is a pandemic. It's going to kill us all. And so you have to listen to us. And they took over the Fourth Amendment. They took over the First Amendment. They took over everything you can conceive of, is including coordinating with big pharma and corporate hospitals.
So we're going to have to wrap up. I have two more panelists, and actually we're supposed to be done by now. Time got away. Thank you, Graham. It's always great to see you.
All righty.
I appreciate you and your hard work out there. Thank you for being a light in the darkness.